Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a great start to their day today. We got a lot to get to on the program today. We're going to talk Titans. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk some hockey. We're going to talk other areas of football. We got a lot of things to talk about today on the program today. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us at 7:30. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean at 8 o'clock. I just realized, Joe, it's Tennessean Day.
It is on the program. It is. That's a lot of – well, it's who we need to get a little Mike – can we get Mike Organ on the phone?
We can always get Mike Organ
Tom Crager?
On the phone.
Tom Crager, new sports editor. Congrats to Tom Crager, by the way.
Way to go, Tom.
It's not like brand new news, but if we haven't said it before, sports editor of the Tennessean.
How we doing, Joe? What's going on?
Fine. I have a huge coffee here. I doubled up this morning just in case – we had more sludge water coming through the pipes, which apparently, like, do we, or you just brought the, Nick, you just brought the,
I mean, the purified the coffee, water to be the safe. Water in the coffee machine looks good, looks normal.
Yeah, because I filled it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, we don't know if the problem necessarily has been fixed. You just brought in another solution.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, in the grocery store last night, I think we would be a lot more sane if we had clean water for our coffee.
Okay.
So,
look at Keyser going the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
So, made all those people mad on the text line yesterday. Now he's coming in here being just a champ today.
They don't get to drink any of the coffee.
That's true.
So.
They don't get to drink the coffee. They don't get to be in the league, even if they give you the right answer on the phone.
That's right.
They get nothing and they'll like it.
By the way, we will have another opportunity today for you to join the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Four more opportunities coming up this week, so make sure you're tuned in today for that. Very coveted spots on the line.
That reminds me, how's the text line doing?
The best I can tell, it looks fixed.
Yeah?
But we'll see.
Okay. Okay, that's exciting. Good.
It could be a great day here on the program.
It could be. Drinkable water and readable texts.
Just living the dream here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, it's list day also today on the program, too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of things that I saw yesterday where I was just saying, huh, that's interesting. Let's talk about that on the program. So we're going to do that today as well. Let's start with your friend Austin Mock, who has put something out there at theathletic.com. He does this every year, and we talked about this a little bit last year, too. It's basically a projection model that they run at The Athletic, and it goes through each team in both conferences and kind of lays out a win total there, a projected win total for what we could see based on their model and how it's run. You'll be surprised to know that the Kansas City Chiefs are leading the way in the AFC with 11.3 projected wins. Joe, as you look at this, where did the Tennessee Titans come in? What do we make of their projected win total?
Well, the interesting thing here is, like you said, no surprise that the Chiefs would be – there's a few surprises in here. No surprise that the Chiefs would be where they are, you know, at the top. 11-3 is not a super high pick, though. You know, it's the highest win total, which is interesting.
It is not, as I mute myself for the first time today.
Well done. You know, and you go down to – I'm a little surprised, too, that the low team is the Broncos at 6.0. Now, the Titans, though, are – I guess that would be second from lowest, or that would be third from lowest.
They are, I believe, third from lowest.
Yeah. They're second. There's two teams. Then there's the Broncos, and then they're the second team after that.
Maybe it is second from lowest.
I don't know.
They have the third lowest win total in the AFC.
Third lowest, yeah. It's Broncos, Patriots, 6.0, Patriots, 6.7, Titans, 6.8. So, you know, it's roughly in line with, I think, popular expectations. The interesting thing to me is the Titans, you know, 6.8. Just two spots ahead of them, the Colts 7-5. Just two spots ahead of them, the Jags 8-1. So, you know, according to this model, first of all, those three teams are bunched. Now, I think that also kind of is in line with what a lot of people think. Maybe the most interesting thing, though, is that only three spots ahead of the Jags are the Texans at 9-0. I feel like the Texans at 9-0 might be the most surprising thing on this list. How many people – I've seen quite a few people say Chiefs, and then who's next?
Yeah.
You know, Texans. Well, according to Austin Mock, and again, this is a projection model. This is like going through the – this is going through the, it says like 100,000 times game simulations, right? So it's computer based. He comes away with the Texans. So he's got the Chiefs. And then you've got Bengals, Ravens, Bills, Jets, Dolphins before the Texans. The Dolphins, a full half game projected ahead of the Texans, which to me is pretty significant.
Yep.
You know, if you look at these projections, they go by, you know, they go by tenths here. So that's one thing to keep in mind. And look, I haven't really done the exercise just going through it, but that is one thing to remember with the first-place schedule, that Texans have a first-place schedule. You go from a last-place schedule to a first-place schedule. Some years that means more than other than in other years. Like we've talked about with the Titans, you know, the NFC North is not great. It's not a great outcome for the AFC South this year. I think the AFC South, and Austin says this, this is one of the most fun, he says it might be the most fun division in the AFC this season, but look, I mean, the Bears are going to be interesting, and they can be dangerous. The Packers and Lions are both really freaking good, and then, you know, the Vikings are drawn up the rear. But still, like, that along with the other elements of just having a first-place schedule for the Texans tells you all these people picking them second, have you looked at who they play?
Yeah. No, it's a great point. Like, there's no doubt the schedule this year for the Texans is much tougher than it was a year ago. Now, part of that is exactly what you talked about. The Titans and the Texans and everybody else in the AFC South drew the NFC South last year. And there is a difference between those teams and what they're about to see in the NFC North, particularly at the top of that division. So there's an automatic built-in difference there. But it is interesting looking at this. Like, the Texans, what would that make them? Seventh in the AFC? Yeah, seventh in the AFC when it comes to projected win total there.
Yeah, so this model has them only making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's a reflection of the schedule for everybody.
Yeah.
But also certainly for them. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule now. I mean, the thing is, it kind of works. You know, you think about their schedule. I mean, at Indy is to start, so that, but it, like, they get the Bears at home, they go to the Vikings, Jags at home, Bills at home, at Patriots. Like, they have a chance to come out fast out of the gate.
They do.
Which would and build, you know, and like build a cushion, but then it does get at Packers, at Jets, you got the Lions, at the Cowboys, you know, at the Chiefs later coming up for you, little Dolphins, little Ravens. I mean, it's
their last three of their last 4 weeks for the Texans. Home against Miami, at Kansas City, home against Baltimore, and then nice little closeout here in Nashville.
Coming right here to Nashville. Yeah. But yeah, like you get to October with their schedule, again, starting with that trip to your beloved Packers on October 20th, and it is a neighborhood, man. So that's the thing, you know, and that's, I mean, I don't go through everybody's schedule when I'm just saying, okay, I think this team is, although we do have to do our playoff pick soon. So
we do.
Something to keep in mind.
Yes.
But it is, you know, like this model tells you that, for example, in this model, the AFC East has got three teams in the postseason. And, you know, and then you've got obviously your Chiefs and you've got your Bengals. And the Bengals and Ravens are the next two right after the Chiefs. And I think that makes sense, you know, in terms of the quality of the team, what we expect for them. But, you know, the AFC East seems to have a real edge, maybe schedule-wise. Again, I think the Dolphins at 9.5 and the Texans at 9-0 might be the most surprising thing to me. But, again, how schedule-related is that? Got to be a lot schedule-related. That's all this is simulating the games.
It's got the Chargers right behind the Texans at 8.9.
Indeed.
Harbaugh magic coming in the first year. Right on the edge of a playoff berth.
Yeah, well, you know, he just cut Max Duggan. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Thanks a lot for beating us in the playoff, Max.
Here's finally, a payback for you.
Harbaugh's revenge.
Yeah.
I mean, how about the Browns? Like the
you
Browns.
Knew our signs that we stole.
Yeah, you didn't let us steal all your signs and cheat you out of that game, so we lost. Got the, you know, Cleveland Browns down here, you know, down the list, you know, behind them. And that's an interesting one, too. I mean, that they, to me, Cleveland, I mean, they could be anywhere on this list at the end. They could be real close to the top and close to the bottom.
Yeah. Well, I guess the one that I'm still having trouble wrapping my mind around when it comes to, like, clearly heading into this season, the expectations outwardly for the Titans are not going to be very high. And we know that, and we've talked about that. When these preseason predictions start to come out and you start to see people pick the division, you're going to see the Titans at the bottom of nearly every list. So I get all that. The one that continues to kind of boggle my mind a little bit, and then they announced their starting quarterback either yesterday or the day before. Like, I just can't get there with the Raiders. Like, the Raiders, people viewing them as a better team than the Titans. I can't do it. With Gardner Minshew as the starting quarterback, and I realize Gardner Minshew was the starting quarterback of the Colts last year, but the Raiders just don't have a lot there. Like, they've got Davante Adams, who looks like he is trying like heck to get out of there. You got Max Crosby. That's about it. Like, there's not a ton there.
Jaren Springhill is about to go on a text rant on you now.
There's Brock Bowers. Does he do anything in camp? I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. So, wait. Minshew has been named?
Minshew's been named.
I actually thought Aiden O'Connell might beat him out. Gosh, that does not speak well of Aiden O'Connell or them or their situation. The Raiders are they are the team that's going to be picking the QB at the top of the draft next year, right? Like Carson Beck or somebody to the Raiders?
I would think.
But, yeah.
Hey, one team to keep an eye on. Apparently, Bo Nix looks pretty good. I mean, he lit up the Packers in joint practices last week, which I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing for the Packers.
Is Bo Nix, I know he's a rookie, so it's different, but is Bo Nix this year's Kenny Pickett?
Maybe.
He might be.
He might be.
I mean, we'll see. I saw the point made. I think it was by, what's his name? Well, I know he makes some good points.
Jared?
No. It's his idol. One of his idols. Along Cowherd? With Skip. Yes.
Okay.
Cowherd made the point that Nick's, in college, it was get the ball out fast all the time, and that lends itself well to the system. It lends itself well in general to the NFL. I can kind of buy that. I mean, he's got a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say no chance. I just feel like
Sean Payton seems to really like him.
Yeah. This is going to be – I mean, this is really going to – If he turns out to be a good quarterback, then all the flowery stuff about Sean Payton can return.
Yeah.
Because right now I got some questions.
615-737-1025. We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. The Austin Mock projection out there at theathletic.com has the Titans at 6.8 wins, the third fewest in the AFC. Taking your thoughts on that. Michael Madison says, I don't get the Broncos hype for Knicks at all. I think they're going to be the worst team in the league. The motto agrees with you, at least in the AFC. I haven't looked to see who in the NFC to see who they think is going to be that.
Yeah, that might be coming out today, I think.
Okay.
But, the motto agrees, and I'm trying to think if Austin says anything about him. No, not really. They don't even deserve a mention. Look, good for Knicks. He's looked good. And, I mean, that's confidence building, and it's not like he's without talent. Again, he did get a lot better. I mean, I think the Oregon system fit him, but still, he made a lot of plays. If you watch Oregon play last year, it was very much like balls out fast,
Yep.
But, so how much does that transfer right now? He and Sean Payton are on the same wavelength, so maybe it'll work out and it'll be the steal of the draft. I mean, hey, at this point, this buzzing in the background is killing me, man.
We are just spontaneously combusting here one day.
We're just going to be sucked into the earth at some point.
It's always something, man. It's always something.
Wait, call Chase. Call him.
The water's brown and there's a buzzing noise in here. What do we do?
The texts are working, though. So text us, folks, on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. I'm warming up for Friday.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm going to abandon you on Friday.
Yeah, I got to be microphone one.
You do, which is always a treat. I look forward to it.
I will be servicing the show, microphone one. Apparently that's a Jared phrase from yesterday. That's what I'm reading on the text line from yesterday.
I will also say, I got a feeling the New England Patriots are going to be pretty bad. I think if I had to pick worst team in the AFC right now, it would not be the Broncos. It would be the New England Patriots. I think they've got a chance to be pretty bad. Like, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know that they're going to go 0-17 or anything, but I could see four wins. I could see four wins around the corner for New England.
Yeah. Well, then they're the team at the top of the draft that won't be picking a quarterback. So if they get to the top, they'll hold that ransom and, you know, trade out of the one or whatever. But no, they have a real shot. I mean, they just traded Matthew Judon for a third round pick, one of their few players I even know on their team.
Yes.
So I'm with you. They're right there. And on the flip side of that, by the way, how about those Atlanta Falcons? I know we're talking AFC, but I mean, Justin Simmons, and look, and players say whatever, you know, and obviously he was waiting for a good deal, but he did say that he went to his agent and said, I want there right now as soon as they got Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, feeling a little bit better about my guy Kirk Cousins and what they've done on that side of the ball. By the way, Cousins had his birthday yesterday. He had the whole playlist at the practice field with the Atlanta Falcons, so if you like emo music from the early 2000s, you know, he's your guy. And
I bet Kirk Cousins is a big Creed fan.
I don't think there was any Creed. Thank goodness.
I bet he liked
it. He had some good Charlotte in there, and he had some Blink though. He had some Blink 182, sadly. Yeah. But
my guy,
yeah. But no, man, I'm pretty excited about the Falcons. I'm pretty excited about what they could be. But yeah, that's at the expense of the Pats, who are going to be total cheeks, and they have basically admitted it. I mean, Jacoby Brissett. Like, at some point, and he's a placeholder quarterback. You know, he's okay, but like at some point, I think Drake May will be probably starting for them.
Speaking of the Falcons, real quick, have you seen the Michael Penix stuff? Of they're just holding him out of preseason games.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that has to do with this the injury, right?
I guess. I mean, but they're making it sound like he could play.
Yeah.
Like
he is practicing.
Yeah, like he can play. They're just not playing it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, well,
and he's not going to play at all this year if Kirk Cousins stays healthy. So,
yeah, well, and they're not playing Cousins at all either.
Yeah,
so they're just like playing total. I don't even remember who like 3 and 4 are right now in camp with them, but they're just Raheem Morris is very much a Vrabel philosophy on the preseason games. You do not play your key players. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. You'd think that as a rookie, he's not going to play. I guess it's like in his mind, it's like, well, he's QB2. We must preserve him too. I don't know. Or maybe they don't want it. Is he going to be so amazing that, you know, then people are going to be clamoring for him? You know?
Maybe so.
And maybe that's it.
Herb from McEwen says, y'all's text line and the Titans offensive line is in the same shape. Well, that's good news for the Titans offensive line. Our text line is looking great today.
Yeah.
They're all flowing nicely
this
today.
Is exactly how it's supposed to go. Absolutely.
Austin from Clarksville. Do you think Weaver makes the team? Does he actually deserve to? This from Austin from Clarksville on the text line.
So that's an interesting. I saw Mike Hernan had a tweet like, "Who am I take after? You know, I think probably after watching the All 22. Who am I taking on the team? Caleb Murphy or Rashad Weaver?" And I think Herndon said he would take Caleb Murphy over Rashad Weaver. To answer your question, Austin, I do. But it's always look whenever you have a new staff and you have holdover players, you know that maybe they never would have picked. And frankly, he has been. He's been underwhelming in camp. He's a guy out there.
Which is what he's been his entire NFL career to this point.
Yeah. Like early on, here and there, he'd flash a little bit. He's a really good player at Pittsburgh. But
he'd get coached up by the Doozer.
That's right.
What happens.
That's right. Well, that's the thing, man. You know, in the Doozer's defense, he's a 4-3 defensive end, and it's just pin your ears back. And, you know, it's a different – and obviously now it's another system change. I think – my answer would be I think so. But I'm not betting a lot of money. Look, I haven't seen a lot from Caleb Murphy either. I mean, Herndon seems to think he's performed better. I think, you know, he may have, like, more pressures. But I have not seen a ton from him either. I mean, you're a little cheaper with Murphy right now. But, like, yeah, I think both of them right now you could say are I guess, fighting for that fourth spot if you want to look at it that way.
It's interesting. I mean, it's not – that's not what you want to hear from Rashad Weaver, right? Like, you would have liked to have seen him make more of an impact at this point in camp. And that goes, it underscores, again, what we were talking yesterday. Just think about not having Arden Key for the first 6 games and what they'd be looking like over there right now if that wasn't the case. I mean, it could be as simple as, all right, well, if Key was out for 6 games, it's Jalen Harrell. Have fun over there, buddy. And that may be their best option.
Maybe. And, hey, with Sweat, Simmons, Landry, maybe Jalen Harrell works out well. All of a sudden he's like, he's the freak. He's the freak part duh 25 years later. What about that?
Maybe so. I got a texture that says, I want the rookie kicker to make the team. We got a lot of votes for that yesterday. Yeah. A lot of people are all in the Narvison train now. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Nah, it's just I get it. The 59-yarder was beautiful. I mean, it had plenty of leg to spare on that one. But I don't think so. I think that what you want is – and I think it's really possible. It's going to be super interesting. What you want is, after they cut him, which they're going to do, for him to be able to be snuck onto the practice. I think the Titans would do that. I think that they would give him a spot in the practice squad and say, okay, let's – and then maybe next year he's ready to be the guy. But they're going to go with the guy who was 29 for 30 last year.
Mo asking if we believe in the Caleb Williams hype. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, but to answer the question, I mean, yeah. Like, I think he's good. I think he is going to be a good player in the league. Is he going to be the next Patrick Mahomes? I think that's probably a little bit of a lofty bar that people are throwing out there. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a very good player for them.
Here's – I don't want people to take this comparison wrong, but one thing it reminds me a little bit of, because the criticism was the same. And actually, I mean, the hype is different, but there was a lot of hype. You know, when Zach Wilson came out, okay, the thing was, okay, can he play on schedule? We know – I mean, look, I saw it with my own two eyes, a Vrabel team lose to an awful, awful Jets team because Zach Wilson made a couple plays where he ran around and he made an amazing throw on the run. And
Corey Davis revenge
story game.
Corey
Davis was one of the guys who had the touchdown. I forget who had the other long play.
What a day that was.
Yeah. But Zach Wilson, that was the thing with him. It was like, maybe you get him off schedule running around, it's like, boy, but can he play on schedule in this league like you need to? That's the question on Caleb Williams. I'm not saying I mean, from what I've seen, it looks pretty good. But I think as a season goes on and as teams are game planning for him and he's seeing all these different things and pressures and coverages, I'm not handing him the MVP right now. I think he may have some rough Sundays this year. Ultimately, the talent is extreme. There's no doubt about it. And I don't care that he has a leather designer briefcase or bag or whatever, or painted his nails, or cry, or loves his mom. But I don't know. I mean, is he going to be a consistently great quarterback in the league? Man, I don't see how you can ever guess that with confidence of anyone until you really see it happen.
Jared from Spring Hill. Can you make an argument for two kickers, one with a specialty of deep balls and then a precision kicker for 45 and in? Would you have to cut Malik? I by no means would do this as a GM, but since we're pinching pennies for points, it may be beneficial. That's from Jared from Spring Hill. No. I don't think you're going to see them keep two kickers.
No, you can't do it. I mean, you cut Malik, then you're keeping an extra tight end, or you're keeping an extra corner, or you're keeping an extra linebacker, you know.
Which I think they could give serious consideration to doing that. Cutting Malik and then keeping the spot somewhere else.
Possible. Yeah. But no, the two kicker thing is not happening. Just like I told you, Arden Key being unsuspended, not happening. So put this one in stone too.
That's right. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. We'll also get into a little college football coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex Doherty from Tennessean will be with us at 7:30. We'll get into the Yaroslav Askarov trade request with him. Where do the Predators go from here? Do they look to make a trade? Do they ignore it and say, hey man, show up to camp? We'll see you then. Going to be interesting to see how that happens. We'll get into that with Alex more at 7:30. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Our friend of the show, Chris Vanini, Joe Rexroad, has come out with full rankings in the world of college football, 1 through 134. That's
every
an
week.
Exhaustive exercise that he has put together. And we are now just a few days away from college football. It begins this Saturday. College game day coming up live from Dublin, Ireland, which I believe Nick Saban is going to be there. At least I'm hoping he is. It's college game day.
Yeah.
So I assume he's going to be there. And I think that's got good potential. Saban over there in Ireland.
It has great. I didn't realize that we were going to get the full game day thing too. That's awesome.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. So, I mean, the usual suspects at the top of this list that Vanini has put together: Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Texas, Alabama. Your top five. You're probably going to see some version of that top five, or at least close to that top five for most people heading into the season. It's hard to argue with that. Tennessee coming in at 14 on this list for Chris Vanini. Guess who's at 13? Your beloved LSU Tigers, baby. Brian Kelly, ahead of Tennessee everywhere heading into this season. AP poll, coaches poll, the Chris Vanini poll. A lot of love for the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, Tennessee at 14 is fine. And it's also interesting that he has Oklahoma right after them, that Tennessee-Oklahoma
That also
game.
Seems to be a consistent thing.
It does. It makes sense. I mean, really, with Tennessee and Oklahoma both, is Nico going to be amazing? Okay, well, then they're going to be better. But is Jackson Arnold is the Oklahoma
version.
It's kind of
the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, and he's all kinds of hype, too, and all kinds of talent. So I get that. Yeah, the LSU thing just kind of boggles my mind. And the thing is, and I don't think Vanini does this, but I know some people make predictions like this after looking at the schedule of a team. And honestly, I'm going to look at LSU's right now because I'm not familiar with theirs. Like, is that what some people are looking at, though? Some people do that. I don't think you should do that. I think you should just rank the quality of the team. Like, unless you're –
they got an interesting
unless
you are from being, the jump, I believe.
Unless you're being tasked to predict a record. If you're being tasked to predict a record, that's different. Then okay, then you go through the schedule. But we're just ranking the teams and what they are. Yeah, they got USC right from the start. Well, they go to your favorite coach, the Beamer, the Beamster. Let's see what else.
Ole Miss.
Well, they got all these Big Ten, Big Ten games.
They
USC
do.
And UCLA. But yeah, Ole Miss at home, at A&M, Bam at home, at Florida. Yeah, that's not a terrible schedule. You're getting Bam at home. Yes, you have to go to A&M, but you get Arkansas on the road, you get Florida on the road, you get a nice Vandy game in there.
You're going to talk yourself into LSU?
Well, top 10? I can talk myself into LSU ending up with a good record. But again, right now, that's not what we're talking about. Like, when you rank these teams, rank the quality of the team. So, if you tell me right now LSU ends up with a better record than Tennessee, I could believe it based on the schedule. Although, I still would not pick that because I just don't think they're going to be that good. I think they're going to lose at A&M and probably lose to Ole Miss. The Ole Miss thing is interesting. I thought saw Jess Pate talking about this. I think Ole Miss or LSU has them at home.
Yep.
After their idle or off week. Let's get that going again, folks, here in football season. and the game before that is South Alabama. So they have South Alabama a week off. And then they get Ole Miss in their place. And Ole Miss is like is total murderer's row right into that game.
Yep.
And that stuff like that matters, right? I'm still picking Ole Miss to win that game.
I mean, the A&M part of this is interesting, too. Like, I have no clue what they're going to be. I mean,
Connor Wegman.
They got a lot of talent.
Another young QB.
Wegman.
How good is he?
Yeah, like, how good is he? They've got a lot of talent left over from the Jimbo days out there.
Yeah.
So.
Talent in both the classroom and the field.
Yeah, a lot of talent to go around on that front. On this ranking, I asked you the question heading into it. Huh, I wonder where Vanderbilt ends up on this ranking. They come in at number 95. So just after Western Kentucky and Cincinnati, and just ahead of our beloved friend Butch Jones at Arkansas State at 96.
You know,
so Vanderbilt coming in at 95.
Well, Butch has been recruiting well. I will have
I'm sure
you
he
know.
Has.
So how far? What's the separation from Vanderbilt to the next lowest SEC team? It would be an interesting question. I mean, I assume it's got to be Mississippi State, right? So yeah, it is Mississippi State, and Mississippi State is 59.
Jeez.
So he's got
that's a gap.
That is a gap. Mississippi State, and then I think there's another gap before from Mississippi State. Well, you get up to Arkansas at 52. And most of the SEC is. Most of the SEC is hovering around, you know, the top 25-ish range. Kentucky 44. I did see Matt Jones make the case for Kentucky making the playoff this year. So
I'm sure he did.
I would like you to know. And Michelle, if you're listening out there, you know, your cats, Matt Jones has laid out the path, which includes winning at Tennessee.
By the way, MTSU at 118 on this list. Ahead of Ball State and UConn.
Yeah, and Chris writes about them a little bit, and I agree. You know, Derek Mason, the program has a higher ceiling than where it has been. It may take some time, and I agree. I'm excited to see what D-Mace does over years there. He does have, you said this during the break, he's got a QB. You know, when you've got a QB and you inherit a team with a QB, you know, that gives you a chance. I mean, that league is led by a team that I think absolutely has to be considered one of the better, the group of five participant this year in the playoff, which is Liberty. In fact, so he has Liberty 30th, by the way. 30th in the nation, Liberty. So that's the team that's supposed to run away with it. If they go undefeated, it's an easy schedule compared to some other teams like South Florida has Bama and Miami. There's other teams that have better schedules, but if Liberty runs the table, that might be your team. I mean, that's a high ranking. I mean, Liberty is, well, we were sitting there talking when we were at Middle Tennessee, and it's like basically, you know, talking to Chris Massaro, AD at MTSU. It's like Liberty, it basically is SEC money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they're probably going to keep hopping leagues. And by the way, another thing, Robbie, that we have to get used to, a thing we've been saying forever in college football that we have to say differently now, it's the Power Four.
It is.
It's no longer the Power Five. It's the Power Four.
Yep.
How weird.
I'll tell you another team to keep an eye on. And look, I don't think they're going to go undefeated because they do have to go to Florida State. Although, I'm not going to rule out they could make that game interesting. Memphis could be pretty good. He's got Memphis
they're
at like
contender.
Number 30.
They're a contender.
You know, Memphis, you look at their schedule, they play at Florida State on September the 14th. And other than that, I mean, they've got a pretty navigable schedule on this thing. I mean, they could end up 11-1. They really could.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, and that's a great point. So, he has Liberty 30th, Memphis 31. So, Liberty, I mean, look at this. Like, they have a good chance of going undefeated. But if Memphis is competitive against Florida State, like, I would like to see that rewarded.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a tougher schedule rewarded there. And, of course, it's Mike Norvell's old team coming into his house. DJ Uiagalelei is Florida State's quarterback, by the way.
Yes.
We should do a segment at some point here on like, you know, can you guess where this player
where
this is this
player
year?
Is?
That,
yes.
That's probably a worthwhile exercise at some point.
It is. And he's got Notre Dame at number 7. And we're falling into this again every year.
So that's another great example of what I'm talking about. I think Notre Dame's good. They're not great. But their schedule is definitely favorable. Now, they start out at A&M. That's one of the really most intriguing games of week one, I believe, is Notre Dame. But if they go and win that game, I know some people, well, my buddy Ari Wasserman thinks that they could have the best D in the country. I mean, I don't know. You know, sure.
We do this every year.
Yeah, like, no, I'm sure, like, they're talented. Like, I don't doubt that. But their schedule, it's embarrassing, honestly. Like, Notre Dame used to play, like, the beginning of the season, they always would play Michigan, Michigan State. They'd play, like, you know. So, who do they have? They do have USC. But, like, look at their schedule. After they go to AM, Northern Illinois, Purdue, Miami, Ohio, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State at home, Virginia, Army, USC. My God. That's, I mean, you know, Newt Rockne turning over in his grave with that schedule. Come on. But that's part of why people are picking them like they're a lock to be in the playoff.
I mean, they probably are, but I'm just saying it feels like we've seen this movie before, time and time again with them.
We have.
It's not 1982. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on some college football, including I saw something yesterday regarding Clark Lee that I don't know that I necessarily believe. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. JC in Goodlettsville on the text line saying, Vanderbilt would be better this year, but their schedule will keep you from knowing it. I like the way that's phrased. I think that's also a very distinct possibility that could happen.
It's
a tough schedule.
That's some wordplay right there.
I
like that. Yeah. And that may well be the case with Vanderbilt. A little concerned about what their passing game is going to look like this year. I am very intrigued by some of the ads on defense.
I am as well. I'm also intrigued by, speaking of an ad on defense, Clark Lea being the defensive coordinator. What exactly is that going to look like with him as DC? We saw it at Notre Dame. What's it going to look like at Vanderbilt in the SEC against that schedule? Going to be very interesting to see that.
Yeah, he's good at it. We know he's good at DC, and I think that's a lot of times when a coach does this, you know, it's either way, whether it's offense or like if it's a change, like okay, I'm taking over the play calling on either thing, it's kind of like on the path toward not a great outcome.
Yeah.
But I think it's – I mean, look, I think it's probably the right move for him. Well, and we'll see if his OC and this whole thing he's done with the offense is going to give them sort of this uniqueness that they I think they need to have a chance at all in the SEC.
Well, speaking of on the pathway to not a great outcome, I saw this yesterday. This is from Bet Online, and Barrett Salee put it out there, who covers college football, has covered it for a long time. And it's just the odds that were sent out of the first coach to be fired. I don't think anybody would be surprised by who's at the top of the list. Billy Napier is at number one on the list, 4-1 odds to be the first head coach fired. Sam Pittman at Arkansas, which a lot of people thought would be fired last year.
The SEC continues to lead the way in all categories in college football.
It just means more. 5-1 for Sam Pittman. Mario Cristobal, Miami, at 6-1 at number 3.
See, I don't buy that, but okay. Well,
if he goes through another situation where they don't take a knee again, then that's he true. Might get fired.
If he does another absolute Nathaniel Hackett brain fart at the end of the game, then yes.
Dave Aranda from Baylor is at number 4, which I could see that.
Yep.
At number 5 on the list in all of college football, the odds to be the first head coach fired, Clark Lea at Vanderbilt at 8-1. And Joe, I got to be honest with you. I saw that list yesterday, and I said to myself, yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that he's in danger of being the first head coach fired. Now, I will say this. I am not going to discount the possibility that if things go really bad again this year and they end up with 2 wins at the end of the year or 3 wins, and you look around and you just say, man, it's getting really hard to see where the progress is getting made. I am not going to discount the possibility, and I talked about this at the end of last year, I'm not going to discount the possibility that Vanderbilt may decide to move on at the end of the year. But the first head coach fired, I just don't buy that as a possibility for Clark Lea. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how much Bet Online AG follows like Vanderbilt in general, but that's definitely a very non-Vanderbilt thing would be to fire their coach in the middle of the season.
Do it.
Like, has that happened? I know someone's going to scream me on the text line, yes! You know, 1974, but boy. I mean, I say this, and I guess technically there was a game left when Derek Mason got fired, but
yeah,
that was frankly well past, you know, the time, right? I mean, so I'm talking about like the Napier thing is
Napier could get fired like 5 games in.
Exactly. And that's just not happening at Vanderbilt. Like, that's just not happening. There's no way he's not getting the whole 4th year. And I still think that he's going to get the 5th year. I think that at Vanderbilt, it's almost like unless you have egregious misconduct or something, you better give your head coach 5 years to do something that like is akin to, you know, flying a prop plane to the moon. But he's higher on this list than, well, like the 12-1 is an interesting group. It's Justin Wilcox, California, Ryan Day of Ohio State, and our guy Pat Narduzzi of Pittsburgh. I mean, I would.
It's disrespectful to the doozer.
It is, but after 3-9, in this climate, you know, I mean, I just so much of it depends on your AD too. Your AD coach relationship is a big thing. I mean, Candace Lea hired Clark Lea. Like, he's not getting fired this year.
Dion made the list, 50-1. He's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, there he is.
50-1 odds on the first head coach to be fired.
Well, I'm a little – I mean, Dabo, 25-1?
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's hard for me to buy. I mean, again, maybe at the end of the year it goes – it's like, okay, it's time for a mutual parting of the ways, but I can't buy that. Lincoln Riley, 25-1.
Now, that's going to be interesting.
That is interesting. It's still early there.
It is.
But it's
a year 3 for him?
I think so,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's been disappointing, obviously. Last year, disappointing when you have a guy like that and your defense is so bad that it doesn't matter that you have the clear number one pick in the draft. but it's early.
The Vanderbilt, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time looking at the schedule, and I talked about Clark Lee taking over the DC duties. One thing to me that helps your footing if you're Clark Lee and this staff this year, regardless of the way the record plays out, like, can you get somewhat of a handle on the quarterback position? Because to me, Joe, that's been the biggest failure of his tenure so far, is they have not even come close to figuring out quarterback. Like, it almost feels like, I'm not going to say they haven't had a plan, but it's just been, all right, this guy's starting this week, and then 2 weeks this guy start, and then we're going back to this guy 2 weeks later. Like, it's just been musical chairs at the quarterback position, and they have to find a way to get that solidified at some point this year. And look, I don't know if either one of these guys are going to be good enough. Like, they may just not have the guy in the building right now that's the solidifier of that position for this program. But you've got to – like, that's been a clear weak spot for them under Clark Lee, is quarterback and having some stabilization there. And they've got to figure out a way to get that figured out this year. If not – like, if you can't get that figured out, it's really hard to do anything else in college football.
For sure. I mean, he inherited – two guys, you know, that Derek Mason recruited, and Mike Wright had some great moments, and you know, and Ken Seals was solid and came in, and but AJ Swan was the guy who was, you know, they were so excited about, who went to LSU. It's really interesting. He's at LSU, right? That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
That one's a head scratcher to me in terms of usually you know, someone's going to leave to go play somewhere, but you know, obviously just it really. And I can't just put it all on him. I mean, you put it on coaching too when you perform that poorly, right? But, yeah, obviously the QB, they got a Utah transfer and New Mexico State. I think Diego Pavia is going to be the guy you're talking about. Yeah, 2,900 yards, 60% last year.
He makes good plays with his feet.
And an offense that should be creative. And, you know, he ran for he ran for 923 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. So, I mean, that's what you expect to see is an offense heavily built around a QB who can run around and make plays and QB design runs and creativity. But, yeah, can you throw it efficiently against these defenses enough? Because you still have to do that.
The Sam Pittman thing makes me laugh. Number one, I like Sam Pittman. I think he's a good coach, but he's probably – like, it's probably not going to go well for him this year. Are they going to hand the reins over to our friend Bobby Petrino?
My goodness.
As interim head coach if they fire Sam Pittman? As soon as they hired Bobby Petrino, I was like, what is this? And you know that wasn't a Pittman decision. Like they were like, yeah, you're going to hire Bobby Petrino.
Right. But also, why would it be an Arkansas decision?
I don't know.
Because the thing is, I think the way people view Bobby Petrino is he is still a very good offensive mind.
Yeah.
But you can't have him as your head coach. Not just for take away his run on the show Chips, you know? I mean, like, there's a lot of reasons that you don't want that guy as your head coach anymore, right?
Look, the only thing I could see is, I mean, you Google it. I just Googled Bobby Petrino, and the first image that comes up is him in that neck brace sitting up there at the podium.
That was a great Halloween costume for many, many people in the 2000s.
Oh, man. So who's your guess? Who is the first coach to be fired this year? Is it Pittman, Napier, somebody else? Who do you think?
You know, actually, I think I probably would go Pittman because I just don't think they're going to be good. And, yeah, I think they'll probably hand it over to Bobby P. If they seriously consider going back to him full-time, that's just shocking to me. That is living in the past, but, like, being completely blind to what actually happened in the past. You know what I mean? It's just – so I'm going to guess him because the thing about Napier is, and it could be so bad early, like the Miami game is huge for them, but I still feel like with his recruiting and everything, there's a case to not, you know, to give him this year basically. And they have the next possible superstar quarterback on campus. I just feel like Florida can't keep doing this, can they? And they have to, like,
that's my
actually
answer.
Find out. Your answer is Napier.
I think he's going to get fired.
He's going to get canned. Yeah.
Their schedule is just brutal.
Yes.
Now, I think if you're them,
you know that.
You have to know that heading into the year that your schedule is rough. But, like, they start off with Miami. They've got A&M on the 14th. You know, UCF's no pushover. They got them.
They're not.
On the 5th.
They and then win the Big 12.
Basically from mid-October on. I mean, listen to that. We've talked about this. But at Tennessee, home against Kentucky, home against Georgia, at Texas, home against LSU, home against Ole Miss, at Florida State. That's got to be that has to be the toughest 7-game stretch maybe in the history of college football. It's unbelievable.
That's tough, man. Yeah, that's tough. They have like the Miami game is the thing is if they lose a Miami game, then I'll switch to your side and I'll go with that. I think if they start out okay and you understand what's coming, you still got it. Like you got to beat Kentucky in that stretch, right?
Yes.
At home, like you can't just completely go goose egg, but. I think he's going to find a way to cobble it together and come back in 25.
Herb says, no way Clark Lee should be fired. He's in an absolutely impossible position. Needs at least one more year. We'll have to wait and see how that goes. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do that next. We'll also delve into the Predators' Yaroslav Askarov situation as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.